Will there be a college football season, particularly at the FCS level, a Maine's league? The CAA canceled the fall season 1 week ago today. The Southwest Athletic Conference has joined in that, making five FCS conferences that have pulled out, but several still up in the air about what they'll do. To get some inside information on it, we're happy to be joined on the telephone this afternoon by Brian McLaughlin, who covers FCS football for Hero Sports. Brian, welcome.
Hey, Rich. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right, thanks. You know, it's a weird times, to say the least, but making the most of it.
Yeah, isn't it? It's a crazy, crazy time, and something pops up every couple hours, it seems like.
Yeah. Let's talk about where we are now. What's the current status of FCS football?
Completely up in the air, I would say. I mean, I think there's a possibility that some conferences might try to go forward this fall. But I do think that we'll probably know for certain how this all works out within the next 7 to 10 days, just because we'll get, edicts from above, Pardon my cough, by the way. I do not have COVID. I think, each conference is it's independent, of course, but if there's no championship structure, I think we'll see, maybe more conferences stepping back and looking at the spring, that sort of thing.
Right. For these teams, and let's start with the CAA, teams like James Madison and Elon, what's the reality of them being able to piece together an independent schedule?
I think if they, if those schools can get maybe 8 games put together, that might be the reality this year. I mean, they can add some more FBS games, potentially. I don't think anybody is going to be flying across the country in this current situation. So, it's not like, I would expect James Madison to be going to, Arizona or anything. But, I think if they can add games that are within maybe driving distance, whether that's FBS or, maybe a Furman or, depending on how it works with the schedule, what gaps each school has in the schedule. I'm pretty sure that's how it would work out. Elon, being in North Carolina, they could play some SoCon teams. They could play the Big South teams. They could play, maybe a group of five teams like a Charlotte or an East Carolina. So I think that's probably how it would work if they're able to put all that together.
I see the Missouri Valley Conference will be making an announcement about football next week. Any information from your sources about which way they're leaning?
No, it's funny. Off the record, I have coaches asking me what's going on. So,
wow.
And I don't know anything. I don't know anything anybody else doesn't know. So I really don't know. The Missouri Valley is an interesting situation, I think, because you're talking about, 4 schools right off the bat, are in the Dakotas, for instance, and you have that dynamic where you're talking about relatively sparsely populated areas, and then you have, schools that are near Chicago,
Right.
You have, schools in highly populated areas of Ohio. So it's like, which direction could it go, I would think if the Missouri Valley decides not to play this fall, that it'll have a big impact on what a lot of schools do this fall, because it could be the first domino, if you don't have if you don't have the big guns in the Missouri Valley playing. But if they decide to play, it could be a Pied Piper effect.
Mm.
in the other direction. But as far as insight, no, I don't. I have no idea what they're going
to
do.
Do you think it will take the NCAA saying, "Look, we're not going to award championships this year"? Is that what it will take for college football at every level to stop for this fall?
I would think that would do it. That seems to be the one glimmer of shining hope for the schools that haven't already canceled it, is that there would still be a pretty good playoff. And you know, when you take the conferences that have not postponed or canceled, we're still talking about some pretty good conferences and pretty good teams. So if they were to play and they were to have some kind of an abbreviated playoff, maybe they just have 16 teams play or something like that, I could see some schools sticking with this, but I just can't see it if they don't have a postseason. But that's
right.
You know, again, that's my take.
Now, a lot of schools, the CAA and others, talking about playing in the spring. How realistic is that, even if it's a reduced schedule, to play even 7 or 8 games in April and May and then turn around 3 or 4 months later and try to play a full season? Or would a spring schedule lead to a delay in the start of next fall?
You know, I haven't heard anything along those lines, so that's an interesting question. I think the spring ball brings up a lot of interesting issues. Now, none of them are the end of the world, and certainly considering everything going on right now in the world, it's kind of hard to sit there and get all caught up in eligibility and whether a kid can go in the NFL draft or whatever like that. But those are some things that I wonder about. For instance, if a senior kind of wants to take a shot at the draft, would we have a lot of guys that decide, okay, well, I don't want to play 6 games in the spring. I'm going to go try, to prepare myself for a potential NFL contract.
Right.
You know, how much would that change things? Because, you know, that process generally starts right after the regular season ends. They sign with an agent, and they train for the combine and pro day and, you know, that kind of stuff, or an all-star game. You know, would we see a mass exodus of a lot of players, you know, top players who want to take a shot at that, you know? Because if you're playing FCS football in May, I don't think you can get drafted. Those are all questions that have started to sneak up, you know, in the last couple of weeks.
And then I've seen a few people suggest, oh, the FCS should just move permanently to the spring. They'd have it to themselves. And all that did was remind me of how little a lot of big names in sports broadcasting, how little they know about FCS football.
Yeah, that comment by David Pollack, when James Madison hosted ESPN Game Day back in 2017, we had media availability with David Pollack and Dez Howard and Reese Davis and, Herb Street and Corso were not available. Although I think we would have gotten a little more respect out of those two because, Corso used to actually coach William & Mary and, you know, whatever. But it blew me away how little Pollack and Howard knew. Nor did it seem they really cared to know much about this level. Reese Davis knew a lot about this level, you know, but when it came to the, you know, the two ex-superstar players, they didn't really seem to understand or know much about these schools. They admitted they didn't know anything about, I think it was Villanova was coming to town. Like, they didn't really know anything about Villanova football, and they kind of joked about it like it was funny. They don't understand. I played at Georgia and I played at Michigan, and those are just those little small schools that we scheduled for homecoming.
Right.
And, that's why it was kind of fun to remind David Pollack that, Nichols had taken Georgia down to the wire in the head the year before and nearly knocked them off in Kirby Smart's opener. So, yeah, those guys don't know a whole lot about this level, I don't think.
Well, that's why we're glad guys like you are around. Hero Sports, Brian McLaughlin. Hey, Brian, we appreciate your insight as always. Good luck. This thing changes almost on an hourly basis, but appreciate all the great work you and Sam are doing to keep us up to date on what's happening.
Yeah, it really does change by the hour. It's driving us all nuts, and sort of driving you nuts too. And you know, you think you have a pretty good handle on things, and then it takes a hard turn to the right or left. And, you know, as we keep saying, unprecedented stuff, no template.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks, Brian. Appreciate you making time. Travel safely, and we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, Rich. Thank you so much.